on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. This is going to be an amazing Sunday, and we're so glad you've chosen to be with us today. If this is your very first time, would you let us know in the chat where you're joining us from? We have an awesome online team and a great community in there who would love to say hello to you. Speaking of our online ministry team, they're there if you have any questions or if maybe you missed a scripture reference or if you need prayer today. They would be happy to pray with you and for you. So let us know. You can use a prayer form or drop a comment down below. We want to make sure you know what's going on right here at Prestonwood. So text the word guide to 74788. That's guide to 74788. And you'll receive a digital copy of our worship guide right to your phone. And you can stay up to date. I hope that you are plugging in here at Prestonwood. There's so much for you online. And there's a great service day. Our new series continues with a message entitled, All You Need Is Love. So text a friend, invite them to our service. Make sure you've got a Bible. Make sure you're ready to take some notes. But right now, from right where you are, get up on your feet because our worship service begins now.
Exciting morning as we have 10 that are following Christ in believers baptism this morning. This is Luke Bendel.
This is Bella Brown.
This is Cynthia Ross.
Because of your public professions of faith, it is our joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a couple brothers getting baptized together this morning. This is Oliver Bain.
This is Bennett Bain.
And this is Walter Conrad.
Because of your public professions of faith, it is our joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. We have a father-son getting baptized this morning. This is Marcio Moreira.
This is Paul Devadas.
And this is Benjamin Moreira.
Because of your public professions of faith, it is our joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Congrats.
Our church family, this is Jackson House Wright. Jackson's good buddies with my son, JJ. Father's name is Chris. Fantastic members of our church. Jackson, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it's my joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
From that day, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come.
You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, so when I fight, I'm gonna fight on my knees with my
victory that's ours in Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him, not about our strength, our purpose. It's His purpose, His strength, His hope in us that gets us through every battle. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How
Christ shall come. with a shout of acclamation and take me home. But joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble
Before you take a seat, and y'all are some good-looking people, before you take a seat, will you look around at people and just say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I love it. Go ahead and be seated. I'm so thankful. How incredible is Rick in the choir today? Like, unbelievable. Wow. Holly, man, big time. I love it. So I will tell you, I am not a great singer. That surprises you, I know. So whoever sits next to me, they get it anyways, right? Amen. I tell Rick often, he is one of those guys that just gets me to sing no matter what, even if that's not one of the talents God gave me. I praise him with all I've got. And sometimes it doesn't sound so good, but that's okay. We come to him and we do some great, great things because of him. I'm so excited. I'm looking around and I know that even online we've been checking and we've got several first-time visitors with us. And so welcome. We're excited that you're here. Matter of fact, one of the things I've learned throughout this life is that it is really challenging if you try to do it by yourself. Amen. He desires for us to connect and be engaged with fellow believers and others who will lift us up to be able to point the light towards Christ. And so we've got a way to be able to do that. If you're the first-time visitor, if you're joining us online, as a matter of fact, take those phones out, something you don't always hear in church. Matter of fact, you can text the number 74788 and text the word connect. We'd love to be able to connect with you. Now, we're not going to be spamming you all the time and do things. We just want to be able to find ways for you to engage. You know what the devil really wants to do? We learned this through the 2020 years and all that. He wants to isolate you away from the body of Christ. The greatest strength that we have, you're going to hear that even today in Pastor's message, is when we engage with Christ, with fellow believers. As a matter of fact, if you're here today as a first-time guest, why don't you come out and see us at Guest Central. We'll give you a copy of Pastor's book, Essential Gospels. It's a powerful book to help you engage your faith, deepen your faith, make sure you're rooted in your faith, but I'll also see if we can give you a buffet ticket. How about that? Amen? I thought I'd get a few amens on that one. That was really good. I tell you what, I've been involved with Prestonwood Church for almost 25 years, and yesterday was one of the most proud moments that I've ever had as a church. Yesterday, we had a conference. Mike Buster and Michael Perrin and our pastor under his guidance, they had a conference called The Chosen. And I'm so excited about our church. One of the things I love about our church and our pastors, we're on the forefront of some of the most difficult situations and conversations that we should be having. Amen? Our pastor does not shy away from these things. And the things yesterday were, really, we saw a lot of tears and we saw a lot of stories yesterday. It was about ensuring that we're taking care of those in foster care or in need of adoption. and our church being in the forefront and equipping other churches to be able to lead that. And I will tell you, it hit me hard yesterday. There was several times where I was crying, and I don't know if it's because I've most recently, just 3 weeks ago, had my first grandchild. Is she up there? I wanted to see how beautiful she is, because she is the most beautiful baby of all. I'm sorry, I've already decided that. Those grandparents in the room, you did not warn me that there is a portion of my heart that all of a sudden becomes occupied that I had no idea existed. But it implored for me yesterday just the importance of taking care of little ones. As a matter of fact, she texted me after the first service, she's gifted. And she let me know she was excited to see me on TV as they're watching at home. As a matter of fact, I'm going to spoil her. I'm going to tell you already. As a matter of fact, I just made it easy. I just went and put the credit card in the inside of the swaddle blanket so she could have it, whatever she needed. Y'all get it. Your grandparents in the room, we get that piece. But it reminded me how powerful and important it is that we take care of those are in need. And just even, I'm so blessed with that piece of it, with my family, the dynamics of our story as well, to be able to see how God blesses that. But you know, I heard Zig Ziglar say a quote one time too, and he said, if he knew how great grandkids were going to have, he would have had them first. I would say an amen to that one as well. You know, we've got a great event, as a matter of fact. I don't know if I get a chance to know most of you. I see some familiar faces, but I get a chance. My name's Mike, by the way, and I get a chance to serve as a minister to our schools here at Prestonwood Christian Academy as a superintendent, and it is a wonderful day. As a matter of fact, it is spring, and it has sprung. Amen? If those educators in the room know exactly what I'm talking about, right? But we have an event that provides an opportunity, what we call Sponsor Align. It's called Zig Ziglar Event. We honor an award recipient, John Maxwell's, this year, to be able to develop funds and grow funds to be able to allow kids that may not have a chance to come to a Christian school that couldn't afford it to be able to do that. So I know they have got a QR code behind us if you're interested in that. We also have a table out there as well to be able to do that event. So we're thankful for the opportunity to serve in that way and to build disciples for Christ and then build faith-filled lines every single day. You know, it is, I don't know if you feel the heaviness in the world today, just, and you're going to hear Pastor talk about this here in a bit, but with what's going on in Israel and maybe just even what's going on in your own life. One of my prayers even today is I've shared this testimony before, but I know that I've come to these pews before, sometimes without hope or even despair at times. But today you're going to hear about a love that God has for you that is unconditional. And then you're going to hear about as well from a passage that maybe you're familiar with out of 1 Corinthians 13 that you've maybe heard at different occasions, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear it in a different way than you've ever heard it before. And really, as I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward and get ready for the offering, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. I want us to take a time to be able to just go completely all in with Him. Because I don't know if you've come in here today with hope or despair, feeling strong or weak. I don't know your story, but I do know His story. And your story can become His story very, very quickly today. Whether you're watching online or whether you're here today, get ready for a message that'll change your life. I love when I went over to Israel and I saw them at the wall and they were praying and they had their hands out just like this. And I've seen many of you do that before, but it just implored me to be able to see how they want to receive from Him. So will you join me as I pray today? Will you just lift your hands out to receive what God has for you today? Lord, we just thank You for this opportunity to be here today, to gather in Your presence. Let us never take that for granted. There's people all over the world that don't have a chance to do just this. We thank You for those who have joined us online. We thank You for those who are here today. Lord, You've got us here for a purpose, to be able to hear Your word, to love deeper, love each other deeper, but to love You with that unconditional love that You give us. I'm reminded in Lamentations that it shares that You, the Lord, are our only hope. I place my hope in You. I proclaim You today. Lord, go before us. Go behind us. Lead us into this battle that we know the victory's already won. In Your name we pray, everyone says, amen.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break, but they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power. Much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe.
All right, who's ready for a miracle in your life? A miracle in your marriage? A miracle with your family? Then believe God for it. And how do we have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is our message series, The Way Home. And we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He brings us home to Himself and to one another. Thank you, choir and orchestra, for leading us in worship. Rick Briscoe and Holly McWilliams. You may not know Holly yet, but Holly is a worship leader here, newly minted in some ways. She's newer to our platform for several months, and lead vocalist. And I knew her grandparents, members here, the Moyers, some of the greatest people I've ever known. Her grandparents, her mother and father. Her mother was blinded at adulthood, and it was tremendous testimony for Christ. So we're grateful for Holly and all the choir and all the orchestra and all of you, because we know that the worship time is not just get ready for something else. This is why we're here, to worship with song and the scripture and in the fellowship of God's church. So I'm really glad that you're here. And you know, our 11 o'clock service, we are growing. And in fact, our church is growing at all levels, and we're very, very thankful for that. So thank you for being here. And let me add my greeting to those of you who are online, wherever you are, watching on the screen, and then everyone who's come into the room, all of our guests. I'm going to be in the atrium after this service, and I would love to meet you if you're a guest or if you're a member. Every now and then people walk up and said, you know, I've been a member of such and such, and I've not met you. And that'll... it's a little bit of a pain in my heart when that happens. I say, oh man, I need to do better. But I want you to come by and say hello if you'd like to say hello, and I would love to meet you. I love you, church, and I'm so grateful for you. We live in a very loveless world, a world that is filled with hate. And we saw that hate demonstrated in the last 24 hours or so when there was this diabolical, demonic attack from Iran upon the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And can you imagine living in a place where you're under constant threat and already experiencing on October the 7th the attack from Hamas, and now from an outside nation, a very dangerous nation is Iran. We love the people of Iran. We have a Farsi congregation that meets with us here at Prestonwood, and I want you to know that we love you, and we're grateful that you're in the body of Christ. And many Iranian people do not agree with the regime that rules over Iran at this time, and so that should be said. But the government of Iran attacked Israel. And when you attack Israel, you attack the apple of God's eye, God's chosen people. And I brought something with you that Mike Evans, who's here today, sent me earlier. This is what happened less than 24 hours ago. So when you hear those sirens, you're reminded of the urgency and the emergency of our times. We, as a world, are on the brink. We really are. And I say this not to scare us, but to prepare us for what is yet to come. We know Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. We know God is in control of all the nations. And what is happening now in the Middle East, specifically Israel, which becomes the target of many nations in the end. And yet we, as Christians, we love and support God's chosen people. We had a conference, Chosen, yesterday. Well, God chose Israel as His own, and we stand with them and have been standing with the people of Israel for these months and really a lifetime. And I want us to pray for the people of Israel. I reached out and was receiving messages from our friends in Israel last evening, and I brought several of these this morning. I first heard from our friend who spoke here, preached here several weeks ago, Joel Rosenberg, who said, "Pastor, please lead your Sunday services in prayer for Israel." And pastors all across America, Bible-believing pastors and preachers, are doing just this. Iran has launched its first ever direct drone and missile attack on the Jewish state. In fact, Mike Evans reminded me just a moment ago that this is the first attack against Jerusalem since Nebuchadnezzar. And so he said, "We're safe," Joel speaking now, "praise God, but we saw the Iranian drones coming in over Israel." Can you imagine your children? Everyone was in bomb shelters, they could get to one, but living under this constant threat. And now the greatest fears come to pass. And he saw these being intercepted just minutes ago. And he said, "Thanks so much for your prayers." And then a new friend of mine in Israel is a man by the name of Wayne Hilsdon. And he is a pastor, formerly founded a church, the largest evangelical messianic Jewish congregation, meaning they believe in Jesus, the Messiah, in Israel. A great man. He started an organization that coalesces many groups in Israel to minister to people all across Israel, both Jews and Palestinians. He's a Jewish believer and follower of Jesus himself. I just sent him a note in the middle of this last night saying, "Trusting God for you, your family, and the protection of God's people in Israel." He said, "Thanks for reaching out, Pastor Jack. We are all safe and sound. We're grateful for God's intervention and the remarkable Iron Dome and other anti-ballistic systems that shot down 99% of those drones and missiles. Please pray that our president and our nation will stand firm and strong in supporting Israel financially and otherwise as our greatest ally in the world and in the Middle East, so that Israel can continue with the drone, the anti-ballistic system, to protect themselves." He said, "I'm so grateful for your love and your prayers." And I assured him from our entire church, as I've assured others in Israel, of our love and our prayers. And then this is from Samuel Samaja, who is a longtime friend, also a Jewish believer in Yeshua. He is a great man who leads a business that provides our transportation while we are in Israel many times. When we take our groups, interestingly enough, our trip to Israel had been scheduled this very week. And that was months ago, of course, and it's all been postponed due to the conflict in Israel. But we would have been there this very week, and of course, we would never put anyone in harm's way. But he said, "Dear Pastor Jack, thank you for your prayers and your love, and thank you for standing with Israel. Thank you for checking on us. We are all doing well. I really do believe that the prayers of the saints are the best iron dome. God is watching over his people," he said. Hallelujah. And that's the same in every language. Hallelujah. Praise God for his protection over Israel beyond the military protection, the protection of prayer. You know, prayers are like missiles. They're a weapon in the hand of God. And we can send our prayers even though we're not there. And yes, the protection, and the Bible says God is our shield. And for the Jewish people there in Israel, and for all of us who are followers of the Lord our God, he is our shield. He is our defender. He is our protector, and he is our peace. So I want us to pray for Israel right now. Would you join me in this prayer? And wherever you are watching on a screen, you can just bow your heads right now. You're seeing all this on the news, but now's the time to pray. And we don't know what to do always, but we do know to turn our eyes to the Lord. So that's what we do, Lord God in heaven and earth. You're such a great God. How great you are. Thank you for being our defender, our protector, our weapon against any attack from the enemy. We know that no weapon formed against us will prosper according to your word. And we pray this for Israel. And we ask that the people there would experience supernatural peace, that they would know your presence, receive your grace and healing and hope for the future. We pray that this would be life-changing for people who will now cry out to you, and many will discover the power of Yeshua, Jesus, in their lives. We pray for the leaders of Israel, for Prime Minister Netanyahu, for his cabinet, all who lead there. Give them wisdom and give them strength to persevere against these attacks that seem now to be coming from every direction. We pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for peace, the peace, as you've told us, of Jerusalem. We pray that other countries, as some who came along last evening and helped, even Arab nations, Lord, that you somehow could unite people who have been enemies and make them friends. We pray for our own president and our own government here in America, that we would be strong in our support from Israel and not back up, but continue to do whatever is necessary to ally ourselves with these that you love, your nation, your people, Israel. As a church, may we always be on our knees, knowing that the times are difficult. The world is aflame. We know that we are on the brink in many ways. So we thank you in advance for taking care of us and our children and our children's children, because we know we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, yes, it is a loveless, hateful world. But God has given us love. And that love is not a human love. It is a love that lasts. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He said, my love will never let you go, my child. And so we are held in the hope of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing in the world, the most powerful force in the world, is love. Greater than hate is love, especially God's love. I love the music of Hal David and Burt Bacharach back in the day, in the 60s and the 70s. Like, I say a little prayer for you. And I can't think of the rest of them right now, but the one I've never forgotten was, what the world needs now is what? Yeah, well, that song endures. And it's a great sentiment for sure. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And yet, it's a world in which there's so little of it, it seems. And what the world really needs is God's love, God's sweet and saving love, the greatest power on earth. It is the power of love that has brought us together as his family and as a church family. Prestonwood Church, we are committed to developing and discipling godly families and marriages that honor Christ, and thus this marriage and family series. We want to raise up a new generation and generations to come, like your granddaughter, Dr. Goddard, and so many others that will love, serve, and follow Jesus. We love families. We love you. We love one another. This is why our children's ministry, for example, is so essential to all that we do. And the ministry, scores and scores of ministries to children, including special needs children and special adults, all these loving, serving ministries of the church to children. And then our student ministry, middle school and high school, to raise up a generation of champions for Christ through our student ministry, and alongside the student ministry of Prestonwood, hand in hand, heart in heart, is Prestonwood Christian Academy. And I'm so grateful that 26, 27 years ago, we founded Prestonwood Christian Academy out of the heart and life of this church. And make no mistake about it, Prestonwood School and Prestonwood Church are one, and the church has the responsibility of stewarding and serving our families through Prestonwood Christian Academy. It is the church that governs and guards and guides Prestonwood Christian Academy. And we're grateful for that opportunity to raise up champions for Christ. And then Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, We do this, why? Because we love people. We love babies, yes. We love babies in the womb and out of the womb. We love children. We expressed that yesterday at our Chosen Conference. Because sometimes we get the criticism that all we care about in the pro-life so-called movement, that all we care about is babies in the womb or babies who are born, and then we forget about them. That's not the truth. We care about children of all ages. And those children that are born are blessed so often to be a part of this church or an adoption process or in the foster care ministry. And it's a lie from the pit of hell to say that Christians who care about life don't care about all children. And we have a problem in the nation, 400,000 children who seem to be unwanted. But we know because of God's love that every child is wanted. And so it's the call of Christ and it's the call of the people of Jesus to be engaged in this process. And so we are ramping it up and elevating this ministry, the Chosen Ministry. In our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, we are saving babies. Nearly 100,000 babies have been birthed through the ministry of our pregnancy center. Because why? We say that we are pro-life in our belief, in our faith, our biblical worldview, yes, and we are pro-love in our actions. So all you need is love. Thank you, John and Paul. All you need is love. Thank you, John and Paul. Not the apostles, but the Beatles. But this is what Jesus taught us. Why do we do all these things and so much more as a church? If you ask me, why is this church such an empowered, effective church in the world? We know it's the power of God. We know it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you grateful that we have God as our Father and Jesus as our Savior and the Holy Spirit as our helper? Amen. And preaching the gospel and worshiping as we are now is core and central to everything that we do. But what holds us together as a great church is love. It's the fellowship of God's church and God's people and the unity and the community of this church is remarkable. Jesus has called us to love one another. He said, as I have loved you. And what is the love of Christ? It is the love of the cross, which is agape love. Now, if you've been around the church or around your Bible a little bit, you know that there are multiple words for love in the Bible and in the ancient world. But the primary love spoken about in the Bible is agape love, which is the sacrificial love of God. It is the love that lays down its life. This is how we love, that we are willing to lay down our lives for one another. I heard about two men who were on a trail, a treacherous trail in a mountain region. And they came to a pass where there was a cliff on one side and a mountain wall on the other side, and there was no place. They were coming from different directions, and so there was no way that they could get by each other. They tried to figure it out. And finally, one of the men laid down on the ground, and the other man walked over him. And they both stood to reach their destination. This is a picture, of course, of what Christ has done for us and the love of God that is in us, that we lay down our lives for the sake of others. The great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So to love God and to love one another. God is love. And his love is loving. We can't say it enough. We can't sing it enough. We can't express it enough. We can't do it enough. But to love as God has taught us to love. And this, of course, starts in our homes, in our families, in marriages. And the marriages who make it, lifelong marriages, are authentic because love is authentic. Love is real, and love is resilience, and love is ready to serve, and love is righteous in that it comes from God. It is the love of God that never lets go, that keeps going. So this is why we say it's never too late for your marriage. It's never too late for your family. Your marriage is worth fighting for. whatever it takes to keep going. Why? Because the Bible says love never fails. And that's a word, love never fails, which literally means love never fades like a flower. This beautiful springtime that we're having here in North Texas with all the flowers that are blossoming right now, and we enjoy them so much. But most of them, of course, fade away and they're gone by summertime. But God's love never fails. The love that we have from Him for one another, this is a love that lasts and it never fades, it never fails. And God can resurrect your marriage, and God can rekindle the love that you have for one another. And God's sweet love, yes, God's steady love, God's sacrificial love is what we need. Deb and I have been married now for 54 years. And, well, I know that sounds like an artifact at this point, but 54 years, and we have a very, very, very happy, vibrant, flourishing, fulfilling marriage. Not a perfect marriage, but a marriage that has been filled with God's love. What we knew when we got married was that God loved us. And this is the key to loving your spouse, is when you know that you are loved perfectly by God. The scripture says perfect love casts out fear. That's not our love for God that casts out fear, but His love for us. If you know that you are loved by God like that, and you let God love you, so many people are insecure in their love because they've never allowed the love of God to fill their hearts and flood their souls. The scripture says the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, the Spirit of God pours out His love in our hearts, in our lives. And so when we open ourselves up to the love of God, the reason that some people can't love well is they've never been loved well. You don't believe God for His love in your life, and you've grown up with all kinds of hiccups and hang-ups and hurts in your life rather than experiencing and embracing the love of Jesus Christ. How can you give love to your spouse if you are not loved yourself? So He loved you before you even loved Him. And because He loves you like that and chose you and adopted you into His family, you can now love your spouse. And so how are we to love? There are multiple commandments and admonitions to love in the scripture. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of the most powerful and personal passages and chapters in all of the Bible. And so what we're going to do is read it. And if I was outlining, and this is a whole series of messages on its own, maybe we'll get to that someday soon. Just do a series in 1 Corinthians 13. Because what you have in 1 Corinthians 13, under the inspiration, word by word, of the Holy Spirit, you have the lyrics of love. You have a song about love. Think about all the love songs that have been written. Well, this is the greatest of all. Someone even described 1 Corinthians 13 as an expression of the Sermon on the Mount. That the verses that we find from Paul here are amplifying what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. What I do know about 1 Corinthians 13 is that it is a portrait of Jesus Himself. A portrait of Christ. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, if you're like me, it's intimidating. Because I know I can't love like this. I don't love like this at all times. But I know someone who does love like this, and that is Jesus Himself. And if this is a portrait of love, and that's what it is, then the only one who can sit for this portrait with perfection is Jesus Himself. So when you read the word love, you can just insert the name Jesus as well because of His love. Verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Here we're about to see the priority or the preeminence of love over anything else. And I have if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Life without love is nothing. It's a big zero. It doesn't matter how much you own, how much your wealth, your health, your accolades, your applause. If you don't have love, it's a zero. It adds up to nothing. Verse 3, if I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Now watch this, because we're about to see in the next verses the practice of love. If the first part of the passage is the preeminence, the priority of love over all other things, then here is the practice of love. And you're about to read 15 admonitions. They're all verbs. Why? Because love is a verb. Love is something you do. Love is so much more than a feeling. This is how people get it upside down. You know, like the one fellow, he said, you know, what is love? He said, well, you know, love is a feeling that you feel like you're going to feel when you haven't ever felt a feeling just like that. Well, that kind of love is shallow and sentimental, and it doesn't last. But real love is a verb that acts. It's not static. It's active. So there are 15 of these. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And then we see the perseverance of love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then we see the permanence of love. In verse 8, love never ends, or love never fails. And that is the outline of the passage. But what I want us to do is just focus in on the minutes that we have remaining, because we're talking about a love that is lasting, a love that is living in your life and in your home and in your marriage. So what does that look like? If this is a portrait of Jesus, and the Jesus life is our life because he lives in us and reproduces his life and his love in us, if that's the case, what does that look like? How is this demonstrated? What does love do? Remember, these are verbs. And I want you to think, as I briefly walk you through this little passage, what if your marriage looked like this? What if your relationship as husband and wives, as parents and children, lived this love? He says, first of all, love is patient. It's long-suffering. It doesn't have a short fuse. It's not irritable or constantly critical. But love is always, always giving and serving. Why? Because love is long-suffering. It puts up with a lot. It doesn't quit when things go wrong. It's long-suffering. We give one another a break. We don't expect perfection. Then love is kind. Too many people see kindness, especially men, kindness they see as weakness. After all, it's the survival of the fittest that win. No, we value courage and standing strong. And we need men. I know some men today are called toxic simply because they're courageous and strong. We'll talk more about that in the message series, What is a Man, God's Man. We value courage and standing strong, but kindness is powerful. Kindness is strength. It is the love that moves us to be kind and courteous to people who are weak, or people who are hurting, or people who are difficult and demanding. The word kind here has its root word useful. Love is useful in acts of love and ministry and service and in kindness. It is kindness that can heal the hurts of the world. And this is what love is. And this is what love does, kindness. It's the sweetness and the blessing of a man and a woman who treat one another as Christ would treat us. And then on the negative side, he says, love is not jealous. It is love that makes it impossible for us to be envious of others, to be competitive with one another. In the marriage relationship, as the scripture teaches us, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives are to be submissive to their husbands as unto the Lord. And so in this marriage relationship, we are not to be competitors, but completers. In the marriage relationship, there is never to be infighting and struggling as to who is in charge or jealousy. Love celebrates, in a general sense, the celebration of others. It cheers one another on. Deb Graham is my greatest cheerleader, and I hope she feels the same encouragement from me. We cheer one another on. We're not jealous of one another. We're not constantly bickering or fighting. In a grateful heart, you want to know how to get rid of envy in your life and that competitiveness that wants to run over people? The way to beat jealousy is to be grateful to God for all that he has done for me. Amen. Therefore, I can cheer on what God does for you. I don't have to fake it either. I genuinely love you, and therefore I want you to succeed. We want the best for one another. And let me just interject here. When you have a marriage and a love like this, you not only are lovers, but you are friends. Friends. And that friendship is what lasts. You may divorce a husband or a wife, but you can't divorce your best friend. And you stay together because friendship in the faith holds you together. Love is not jealous. Ask God to give you a loving heart filled with satisfaction. In the message last week, I said, you know, life is not always getting what you want. It's wanting what you get. And so we're not jealous of others. We're not envious of others, including our own spouses. Love is humble. For it says in verse 6, it is does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love is not soft regarding right and wrong, good and evil. No, love is tough, but it is tender. We speak the truth in love, but it is humble. Love and pride are the opposite. Pride is a word which means here a windbag or a blowhard. You don't boast, you're humble. To be boastful is to be a know-it-all, to think you always have the right answer. I especially tell young couples, I say this to husbands of all ages, you can either be right all the time or you can be happy. What is it about us? We think we have to be right. I do. This is one of the biggest flaws in my life. I think in a discussion with my beloved, I think I always have to win the argument. But you don't always have to be right if you want to be happy. But to be boastful, empty trucks make the most noise, as though to empty brains. Love is not egotistical or self-centered, but humble. Humility is genuine. It's not thinking lowly of yourself, but it is not thinking of yourself. It is getting your mind on Christ and the people you love. Verse 5 says, love is not rude. Rudeness and crudeness is a way of life for so many people today. And the word rudeness here, it means behavior that is unbecoming. Behavior that is crude and rude, whether it is our words or our deeds. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this other than the way I'm going to say it, but rudeness is, and not to be rude is, just don't be the north end of a southbound horse. That's what I'm trying to say. Unbecoming. becoming behavior. Starting with your marriage. So often we treat the people we love the most with the most criticism, the most crudeness, and rudeness. Love, I like to think, is shown in the little things. Love in the little things is taking your loved one, your husband, your wife by the hand and just holding it. I saw an older couple walking down the street yesterday. I was walking Rowdy, trying to keep him under control. And this older couple came along, and they were old. I know they were older than me for sure. And they were holding hands. I thought, what a beautiful picture. Just a couple. Nobody was watching. They just were still holding hands after all those years. I don't know how many years. It's being kind and doing the little things. When's the last time, guys, you opened the car door for your wife? Oh, I guess that means none. I heard nothing. I plead guilty. I don't do that enough. Somebody said, if you see a man opening a car door for a woman, it's either a new car or a new wife. So, don't be rude. Don't be crude. Be at your best. I mean, even around the house, don't be rude. Don't be sloppy. Don't lay your stuff out on the ground in front of somebody else. Don't pick, guys, pick up your underwear. Just pick it up. It's rude. It's crude. All right. Love is unselfish. Verse 5, it does not insist on its own way. We're constantly battling self, aren't we? So in order to live this kind of love, I have to die to myself. The way up is down for the loving Christian. I have to get on my knees and surrender my will to the will of God. Jesus is the greatest example of this. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Love, verse 5, is not irritable or resentful. You're not in a state of constantly being ticked off or thin-skinned. We often lose our testimony with unbelievers in the world because we're so irritable constantly. We don't treat people well. And you can't afford to lose your temper. Some people just lose their mind and they don't have that much to lose in the way that they treat other people. Love is the cure. Carl Memminger, a great psychologist of yesteryear, said, love is the greatest medicine on earth. But one final thing, and I'll close this message. Love conquers, it never fails. With all these expressions of love, it is love that endures. It is love that is authentic, and authentic love is fail-proof. Authentic love will fail-proof your marriage. It is patient, it is kind, it responds, it doesn't react to everything. Kind to people who are critical of you and carnal of you and difficult towards you and difficult and demanding. Love, final point, endures these tough times. Love endures tough times. And everybody in here, one time or another, maybe even right now, your marriage is going through some tough things. Deb and I were married when we were both 19. We were college sweethearts. Probably too young, but it's worked out after all these years later. But we had one thing. We had a love for God, and therefore that love in us gave us love for one another and the calling that God had placed upon our lives. But you know, the first years, the first 5 years, they say, are the toughest in a marriage, just getting started. And many marriages break up early. Well, our marriage got tested early on. Many of you know our story. My father was brutally murdered the summer that Deb and I got married. We went through that. About a year, 18 months later, Deb's father, Doyle Peters, wonderful man. I loved her daddy as she loved her daddy. He was diagnosed with melanoma cancer and was gone in about 6 months, 43 years of age. Within a couple of years, my mother, brokenhearted from the loss of her husband, my dad, died of a sudden coronary, a heart attack. She died of a broken heart, no question. So in the first 5 years of our marriage, we said goodbye to three of our parents. What some of you don't know about us, we had three or four miscarriages in the first 5 or 6 years of our marriage. So we went through some tough times. God tested us at the start. And I can tell you that the testing of our faith and the testing of our love made us stronger together. Unfortunately, over the years as a pastor, I have seen couples give up when the going got tough. When the house was on fire, it burned down because they just didn't persevere and keep going. You know, it's been said, if you're walking through hell, just keep walking, go through. And so many people, when they're going through it, they just quit. And some people, they give up when the house is on fire because they can't take the heat. But God tests your marriage as he studies. So we're not unusual. I don't tell you that story about us as a sob story, but only to relate to the fact that all of us go through things in life. And I guarantee, if not already, and yet to come, others, we all will be tested in our love. Love will be tested. But I'm happy to say that I've seen multiple, many, many marriages in the fire go through it and get through it and grow through it. Jesus talked about this to change the metaphor. When the storms come, when you're walking through a storm, Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It comes to anybody. In this life, you will have tribulation. There are going to be tough things. What are some of these? Tragedies, illness, financial ruin, a prodigal child, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, physical handicaps. I was with my friend Marine Tim Leaves, an evangelist now. His legs were blown off in Vietnam. He's been in a wheelchair ever since. He came home to his young wife, Connie, without legs. She's been helping him roll through the rest of life, and they're rolling. He's a holy roller, I promise you. He's a great one. He's a great preacher of the gospel. But I watched as I was with him this week as Connie was helping him get his chair. She's been doing that all of his life. He's strong. He's a powerful guy, but he's got a wife. Two are better than one. And so physical handicaps, job loss and unemployment, the death of a child, a spouse who doubts God or leaves the faith, depression, disrespect, disagreements, infertility. We talked a lot about that yesterday. Bad choices that a spouse may make. Satan himself attacking your marriage. We all will be tested. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And for some of you, it's right now. Your marriage will be tested, but what holds you together when everything else is trying to tear you apart? It is a total commitment to Christ and to one another. Marriage is not a 50-50 thing. It's 110%, 110% together. Our marriage is the most important commitment in life, more than your buddies, more than your hobbies, more than your career, more than your money, more than your achievement, more than the applause, more than your kids even and your grandkids, is your marriage. It's what holds you together when the kids are gone or when life tumbles in is your love for one another. And that love trusts God and it trusts one another. It's the trustworthiness that says, I'm here to stay no matter what. Love never fails. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. That threefold cord, I tell young couples as I prepare them for marriage, is the man, the woman, and Christ. A threefold cord. will not be easily broken. And every problem you face, we face, is an opportunity to grow closer together, to get stronger in our unity, to get better, not bitter. So don't allow the trials of your life, whether they're today or tomorrow, to drive you apart. Help them to drive you to Jesus and to one another. Love finds a way. The love of Jesus is the way. And the love of Jesus Christ is God's proof of his love for you, that God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you stand with me, please, quietly and reverently? We're going to give an invitation now. I'm going to ask that you be a prayer partner with us. Would you join me in prayer for people in the room who need Jesus right now? And would you just stay with us and pray with us just a little while longer while we give the invitation for those online and everyone right here today? Our pastors are going to be here at the front and upstairs in the balcony. And if you need Jesus in your life, I'm going to invite you to come forward and openly trust in Christ. You need Christ. You need, as I said early on in this message, to let God love you. You can't love someone else until you let God love you. So receive his grace and his mercy and his love today. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We sang about it. Will you believe for it? Will you believe God for the forgiveness of sin? Will you believe God for eternal life? Will you believe God for the love that changes everything? Lord God, help us to do right now what we'll be so glad we've done when we stand before you, because we know the only thing that matters is your love and your grace and your eternal hope and promise of heaven. We thank you for our homes. We thank you for our families. And we want to be founded on you, Christ. We want our faith to be in you. So now may men and women come to faith in Christ. May couples come and children come. Lord, that let this be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to receive Christ,